Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. It's Pat Sloan. I'm your host today, and I have three quilt guests. We're going to talk about applique, we're going to talk about wool, and we're going to talk about machine quilting, you know, what every quilter wants to know. We're going to answer it today. So the first person we have on is my buddy Kay McKenzie. She is a designer who I met for the first time in person a few years back when we were like a big group of us going to dinner, and we didn't really know who each other was until I realized she was wearing an apron with my fabric in it. So that was, you know, the best way to kick off a new friendship. And Kay loves applique, so that's what we're going to talk about. So hi, Kay, how are you?
Pat, how are you doing?
I am doing so well. It's so good to hear your voice.
Oh, well, same here. You know, I remember that night like it was yesterday.
I know. That was so funny. It's like, hey, that's my fabric.
Yes. And then I'm like, you're Pat Sloan.
Yeah. It's always good to have a reason to be friends, right? So
yes,
we like
yes.
The same thing. Yeah. So, you know, Kay, you love applique as much as I love applique. You know, I
Yay.
Love the freedom of the shapes. You know, why do you love it so much?
I don't know. I was just, I was born that way, Pat. I don't know. As soon as I began quilting, you know, I did the Dresden plate block. That was one of the blocks in my 4-block sampler. In the beginning quilting class, and I just love turning the edges over and stitching them. And so I told my instructor that, and she says, oh, you might just be an applique person. And so that's what gave me the idea that I might be an applique person. And it was true.
I'm
always drawn to it.
So you're probably one, most of us do some patchwork first and then, you know, eventually, you know, find the applique bug, but you got it in day one. How good for you.
I did, you know, and I can piece if I have to, you know, I can sew a 1/4 inch seam, and I think the best quilts are a combination of patchwork and applique. So, you know, I love all kinds of quilting, but I would call myself a specialist in applique.
Yeah, so let's talk about your new book, because it has got like such a fun technique that I'm just, you know, I've got to try. It's called Scrap Applique Playground.
Right.
So what's the idea behind it?
Well, the idea is that instead of just using a fabric to cut your applique motifs out of, you can actually piece or fuse together little pieces of fabric and make a fabric composition. And then you cut your applique fabric out of that. And it is so much fun. You know, there's no rules. There's no measuring. There's no calculating. It's all free form. And the result is applique that has a little bit extra texture and sparkle. You know, it's kind of whimsical. It's so much fun.
So tell me, I can sort of understand the part about piecing all the fabric. But when you said that you could take it and sort of fuse a pile of stuff together, is it raw edge or, you know, what does it look like when it's done?
Yes, so it is raw edge. And what you do is you just take all your scraps of paperback fusible web that you save. And
Ooh.
you take the scraps of fabric that you've pulled that you want to use for the project. And you kind of like match them up vaguely by shape. You know, like, and then fuse that those chunks of fusible web onto the back of your scraps. Then you just take scissors and you do a fresh cut all the way around so that the shapes match exactly, and you've got a fresh cut and it's fused all the way to the edge. Then you get out your nonstick applique press sheet and you peel the paper backing off and you just build a little collage. You just put down your scraps, which are pre-fused, and you overlap them slightly. And then when you got something that you like and it's big enough for the motif that you want to cut out, and, you know, I always have you make some kind of a sizing template so that you know when it's big enough.
Yeah.
Then you just fuse them all together. You tack them all together on the pressing sheet. Then when it cools, you can peel it right up and use that to cut your applique motif out of.
Yeah, so you've got some in your book, like, that are hearts and circles and
some flowers.
Now, when you layer them like that, there's still some raw edges. Are you eventually stitching those down? within like the shape
aren't.
Of the heart?
I mean, that would be very difficult to do, to go back and stitch all the little raw edges in there.
Yeah.
So what I do is I consider that a decorative look. And I do tell people in the book that, that there will be raw edges within the applique motifs in this method. And so you should plan on quilting over the motifs to just like really secure everything onto the quilt.
So you have like a little sort of cone flower daisy kind of thing in the one, and it's got some long petals, and I can see that you have quilted inside the petals.
Exactly.
Ah, so that'll hold down, and you know, some of these are wall hangings and things like that that aren't going to get heavily.
Yeah, most of the things I make are wall quilts. You know, I'm really into the smaller project. My vision is kind of small, like about the size of the table that I sew on. And I like things that are quicker to finish up, and so most of my stuff is decorative and for the wall.
Now, how did you think up this method of just starting to sew all your, you know, because as an appliqueer that does fusing myself, you know, when you have those pieces around the shape, let's say it's a heart, and you know, you're always going to have some fabric, heart fabric that's got fusible on it that you're not going to use.
Right.
And
I generally
have to throw that away because I don't know what to do with it.
Well, if you want to, you can start saving them in a box or something and then play around with this method.
Yeah, so is that what happened? That's why you did it? You just sort
well,
of had these?
I started out on the piecing side.
So
what happened was, you know how a lot of ideas kind of cook for a long time? And they like develop in the back of your brain while you're working on other things and you always have deadlines? So that's what happened to me. This is years ago. I found, I just finished a big deadline, and I don't have another one that I've a big push coming up yet that I have to start on. So I think I'm just going to sit down and sew. And so I just gathered up some strips and some scraps and sat at the sewing machine, and I had no plan in mind. And then cutting across and sewing them back together again. And what I wound up with, these big hunks of like random unmatched patchwork. And they have been sorted kind of into colorways, you know, peachy or pinky or blue, that kind of thing. But then another deadline came up. And so, you know, with a sigh, I had to put those chunks aside and work on something else. But I never forgot about them. And the next time I had a little space of time, I hauled them out. And, you know, because I'm an appliqueer, I always look at things with an appliqueer's eye. I thought, I wonder if I could make some kind of applique out of this. So I cut some big hearts out of those chunks, and I used the fusible interfacing method for that, you know, where you use the fusible interfacing to create a facing and you turn it.
I
made some great big hearts, and then I, with those hearts, I made a couple quilts for the group in my guild that makes charitable quilts for kids in need, and gave it to them, and they liked them. And so then I gave them the rest of the hearts so they could play with them. And so the idea came one step further. And then when I was done with the first two books that I did for Martingale and I was thinking about a third book, I hauled out the idea again. And that's when I really started brainstorming. You know, I just put my thinking cap on and I started thinking about ways I could piece, ways I could fuse, different methods I could use once I had the compositions done. And came up with a whole bunch of different ways you could piece, ways you could go about piecing, ways you could fuse, and ways that you could make appliques out of them. And so that's how the book finally came about.
That I just love hearing how people's ideas develop. And it's always amazing because sometimes, like you said, Kay, they have to percolate a while.
Yes, they do. And it's a kind of a departure for me, too, because, you know, my first two books, I know you've seen them. They're done in the block format, and, you know, they're applique, of course, and each one is 50 applique blocks that you can put into any kind of project that you like. And so this is not in the block format, and it's, you know, the colors that I use to create the quilts, they're less traditional and more kind of fresh, bright, modern, and cheerful.
Right.
So it's a different look for me and kind of a whole different thing, and I enjoyed it so much.
Oh, I just love it. People have to go and check it out, Scrap Applique Playground.
Yeah.
Now, Kay, you go out and people can meet you sometimes when you do some shows. What kind of things do you do where people can come and see your work in person?
Well, I do a lot of quilt shows as a vendor throughout the year. Now, I live in Santa Cruz, California, and most of the shows I do are very West Coast-centric. You know, I haven't ventured to the middle or the East Coast yet, but I am getting a little further afield. Like, I went to Phoenix, Arizona earlier this year, and I'm going to Portland a little bit later in the year. But most of the ones I do are Northern or Southern California. So if you're in this area or you're going to visit here, you can always go to my website, which is kmackenzie.com. And, you know, my name is spelled with an A, M-A-C, kmackenzie.com. And click on the events page. And I always keep my show schedule up there so you can see where I'll be. And
good,
I always
bring
all my stuff and hang it up.
Yeah, that's what do people usually, what's the biggest question you get when people see your stuff in person?
People come into my booth and they look around, and of course there's applique everywhere you look, right?
Right. Yeah.
And they go, "Did you do all this?" And I'm like, "Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I did. I did all this." And they're like, "Wow, that's a lot of work." And you know, I always say, you know, it's not work when you're enjoying what you're doing.
Right.
You know, it doesn't take patience for something that you can't wait to get to. And so for me, you know, applique is like breathing. It's my profession. It's what I put my efforts into, just like I had a 9-to-5 job, which thankfully I don't anymore. You know, so yes, I did all this. And it doesn't mean you have to do all this, but there might be something here you like.
I know. I bet people are excited. I always find it exciting to go to a retail show and be able to see all the, you know, a lot of the designer stuff in one place when they do a booth. That's always super exciting. And Kay, we have, you know, like 30 seconds. Tell me about the hobby, what you and your husband do, because
hobby.
It's amazing.
Yes. Okay. My goodness. My husband and I both volunteer at our animal shelter here in Santa Cruz County. And, we also take in foster kittens when it's kitten season, which is starting right now, by the way. And so for the last 2 years, I think I had a total of 40 kittens in batches. And I've still got one right now who was a little tiny guy and very shy. And so he's about ready to go back. And he's gained weight and he's gaining confidence. And so that's what I love to do. I love to take care of those kittens and then go down to the animal shelter and help get the pets adopted.
Okay, this has been just wonderful to have you on and share about this really fun scrap applique.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Oh, and Pat, don't forget to tell them about my blog, All About Applique, if they're interested in applique, because there's a lot of good information on there.
Okay, the links are on my site. Go check it out. We'll be back after this little break and talk about wool.
Join Beth for video demonstrations of the latest and greatest quilting products. Visit allpeoplequilt.com and click on Tool School. Welcome back to the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. And what a show it is! Strutting down the runway with a fizzle and pop is Pezzi Print by American Jane. Now it's Kate Spain showcasing waterfalls of color and good fortune. Chloe's Closet is here with a peachy keen idea, combining two classic favorites, flannel and 30s prints. Next, let's take a walk in the woods with Anil Ahoy and discover enchanting storybook characters. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
At Stash Books, we work to inspire you to use fabric to create a beautiful handmade lifestyle. We're passionate about inspirational designs, accurate instructions, and finding authors that you want to know and learn from. Visit StashBooks.com for a behind-the-scenes look at this season's new releases, including Modern Minimal by Elisa Haight Carlton, Modern Patchwork by Elizabeth Hartman, and much more. Sign up for our email list at StashBooks.com and get 20% off your next order.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Keltner, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making a pillowcase and making a difference. It's easy. Make and donate pillowcases in your local community. Use your favorite pattern or choose from one of the free patterns at allpeoplequilt.com. Whether you sew pillowcases with a group or by yourself, you can help someone less fortunate. You could donate them to a women's shelter, boys or girls club, homeless shelter, veterans home, or any other organization you know of in need. Once you donate the pillowcases, log on to allpeoplequilt.com. click on the box in the upper right-hand corner for the 1 million pillowcase challenge and enter the number of pillowcases you created to our national tally. We know quilting changes everything, and we're out to show the world just how much quilters care. Please join the American Patchwork and Quilting 1 million pillowcase challenge. We're counting on you.
Our editors share their tips, ideas, and techniques by visiting allpeoplequilt.com and clicking on Watch Videos.
Hi, this is Pat Sloan. Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I have to tell you that I was absolutely thrilled when I opened up the February 2011 American Patchwork and Quilting magazine, and there was a profile of Odile Gova. You may know her as Wooly Fabulous if you are out on Flickr and have seen her work and stalked it like I have. I mean, seriously, her work is just like super thrilling. Calling it fabulous is just a total big understatement. So I was very excited when I contacted Odile and said, you know, could you come on the show and tell us about your work and what you do? And she said, yes. So here she is. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Pat. I'm really thrilled. This is really exciting.
Oh, you know, your work is really exciting. For people who are not familiar with it, can you tell us a little bit about what your work looks like?
It's quite graphic, very bold. I try not to get too fussy. Mm-hmm.
Lots of zippers.
Well, I love to work with the zipper and the wool, and mm-hmm. that's something that sort of happened. I hadn't always worked with the zipper, but it was just one of those days where I happened to have a big bag of zippers that I thrifted and a pile of sweaters I had felted, and mm-hmm. I put the two together, and I thought, wow, this might just work. So tried it, and then there was just no stopping me. I went crazy with it.
And you do all this work by hand when you're stitching everything, or a lot of it?
There's a lot of steps involved. Mm-hmm. Once the felt is made and the zipper is trimmed down, mm-hmm. I do have to use hot glue in certain spots because mm-hmm. I'm looking for a really firm, tight finish, and the sewing is not quite enough. It's good for getting it set in there, certain stages of it, but it's something I think you'd understand if you did it yourself. You'd go,
And you do pins, and you do pin cushions, and just little what I might call dioramas or little settings.
Yes, yeah. And, you know, it's not like I'm really following any rules or any criteria. I'm kind of selfish when I craft. I'm pretty much making whatever I feel like making. It's like, I don't have any rules. Like, no one's telling me, you have to make six of those. I just do exactly what I feel like doing. So, well, and I like to take breaks, you know.
You like to take breaks? I mean, do you get bored with one thing? Like, you had a whole bunch of mushrooms that were going on for a little while. Do you get tired of them then and want to do something else?
I start to feel maybe it's getting a little stale, so I just need to give it a break and then turn and do something else for a while so that I can keep every little thing that I like to do fresh. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to love every step of my crafting experience, let's put it that way.
It looks like you do. I mean, your work just is so joyful, and it's
thank you.
I mean, there's like whole legions of us that wait for you to post new photos, you know that.
Yeah, I'm kind of hot and cold. I'll go for where I'll be posting like every other day, and it's mm-hmm. I'm probably going through a manic thing, or I'm not sure. And then I'll kind of slow down for a while because, you know, life gets busy. There are other things mm-hmm. going on. But I try to get pictures on there at least twice, three times a week.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's quite a lot.
It's a job. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, have you always made things, Odile, or is this sort of a newish part of your life?
This work probably for about 4 years, and prior mm-hmm. to that, I was a painter. I actually made floor cloths.
And I also worked with a gallery, so I did canvases, and so I've had many years of painting. My style of painting has been transferred to my style of how I make my brooches. My paintings are very similar to that really bold, striking. Mm-hmm. You know, I always work with black because I think it really makes colors pop. So, yeah.
So when you painted, were you an oil painter or?
Oh, strictly acrylic. Oh, yeah.
Acrylics,
I don't have the patience for oil.
Yeah.
I'm sort of one of those instant, I like to be instantly gratified when I'm making something. I don't want to wait for days and days and days for, you know, to finish something off.
Now, a lot of your work you do with the wool is recycled wool, right?
All of it is.
All of it
right.
is. Oh, okay.
So I'm basically thrifting for 100% wool sweaters. And maybe about a year ago, I started looking at coats, nice thick wool coats.
Mm-hmm.
And that's got to be one of my favorite mediums now. It's wonderful. And I'll still felt that wool. I'll rip a coat apart and throw it through the washing machine and see if it'll shrink down even more. And it usually does.
Hmm.
It's great stuff to work with.
Do you have like a tip for buying thrifted wool, or actually not buying it, but how to handle it once you bring it home?
Well, I could almost write a book about how to look for the right sweater, because that is, I've probably felted over 500 sweaters by now. So I got a pretty good feel for it when I go in a store. You know, I don't like to waste my money on something. I still get fooled once in a while because, you know, labels don't always tell you the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You really do need 100% wool sweater, like fabric.
Mm-hmm.
And I would call myself a very aggressive fuller of a sweater, which is the technical term for felting a sweater. And I tend to leave my sweaters in the washing machine for an hour, hour and a half, constant washing with the hottest water available and dish soap.
Mm-hmm.
And it produces a really thick, heavy felt that's perfect for handling the weight of the zipper. And that's the key.
Mm-hmm.
I think if I'd had the idea of trying to add zipper to, let's say, fabric or something else, none of this would have happened. Like, regular felt really doesn't work. It doesn't have enough thickness or body to, you know what I'm trying to say about the zipper?
Right. And wool has different thicknesses, so that's what you've educated yourself to be able to tell when something will shrink down during that felting to be thick.
The rule of thumb when you're looking for a sweater to felt for this, if it feels soft, it'll get soft felt. If it feels like a medium weight but not too soft, you don't want it to feel like and none of the mohair sweaters will work. That wool will be too soft.
Yeah.
Lamb's wool, boiled wool, fantastic stuff. My favorites, actually. So that's
now
what I look for.
You live in Canada, right?
I do, in Toronto.
Yes. So you have lots of wool up there, I suppose.
Oh, my goodness. There's no shortage whatsoever. Yeah, this time of year they start to put their sweaters away, but I have quite a collection now. I shouldn't even buy any more sweaters or coats. No, I'm not kidding. Yeah,
so how do you store them? Do you cut them up and then store them on shelves, or you just hang them or throw them in a box?
Well, eventually I had to get organized because when I'm working with color palettes, I don't want to spend time hunting for stuff. And besides that, if I start doing that, I rip the studio apart, which is not a good thing. So I got clear bins you know, that I can see through. And then I have my color families, like my blues, my purples, my greens. So whenever I'm doing something, I can move directly to the bin that I need and do it that way. And it works great.
Go ahead. I was going to say, you told me, which I'm sure all of your fans are absolutely thrilled, that you finally have put together a tutorial, which is probably more like a book of how to make the heart pin, which is, I guess, a pretty basic one.
Well, I chose the heart pin because it runs over all the basic techniques, so the corners, the curves, the extra pieces, how to do that little curlicue in the center. And once you learn those skills, you can pretty much turn any of your little sketches into a brooch. That's what I'd say. And I'm a very helpful gal. You know, if you email me and ask me for some help if you're having trouble with little details, that's, you know, I think I've dealt with just about every challenge right. that you can think of. No, seriously. And yeah. And I want people to succeed. The mm-hmm. tutorial has over 65 pictures, so mm-hmm. I'm very generous, and I truly want you to be able to make a beautiful little felt and zipper brooch. Mm. So, and like I said, I'm always an email away if, you know, somebody needs a little assistance. But
and they can get this from your Etsy site, which is...
Yes, it's been in there for a few days now, yeah.
Oh. they're there. And then there's also finished items and supplies so that if people want to give it a go.
Well, I thought that since I was doing the tutorial, I probably should put some kits together. Mm-hmm. So I got some heart kits and a little leaf brooch kits, and it's got the zipper and the backing and the pin yeah. back, the whole
perfect.
Thing. Yeah.
Perfect, perfect. And yeah. you've been out traveling recently. You were telling me you did some shows, and are you doing a little bit of teaching as well?
Well, I sure would like to get into some more teaching. I realized how much I enjoy it. I just did this big one-of-a-kind show here in Toronto in the spring, mm-hmm. and we were asked to, if we were interested, to do a workshop. Mm-hmm. And it was fantastic. It was great. I realized I've got lots of fun things to teach people. So it was a good class. Yeah, we made a pincushion with the mushrooms.
Oh, that's fun. The mushrooms they must appeal to everybody. They're just so clever. And you must have piles of red wool at your house.
I have tons. And sweaters and coats. Yeah. Yeah, I'll never run out. Actually, red's probably the easiest color to find.
Is it really?
Yeah,
wow.
It is. Well, for me, anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Odile, what would be like, you know, one thing that you do just for fun outside of, you know, making your amazing pieces, you know, sort of like a hobby? I know this is, you know, fun also.
You know, because I literally work probably 10, 12 hours a day in my studio, mm-hmm. There are a few days over the course of the week where I have to leave the house. And mm-hmm. I'm really blessed. I'm close to Lake Ontario and to the Rouge Valley, which is a beautiful conservation area. And I like to hike. So I'll get my hiking boots on and go out there for a couple of hours to clear my head.
Mm-hmm.
Always bring my camera. And I'm very fond of hunting for wild mushrooms and mm-hmm. taking pictures. And I've been doing that for years. I love it.
Odile, this has been awesome to have you on the show. Thank you so
Thanks,
much.
Pat. Thanks.
We'll be right back.
Choose from more than 100 of your favorite patterns from American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
Did you know you can find your favorite books from C&T Publishing available as ebooks at ctpub.com? From new releases to classics, there are hundreds of titles to choose from. Ebooks are instant and immediate. No more waiting around for a printed book to be delivered. They take up less space and are easily portable. Plus, ebooks use very few natural resources. Look for the ebook sale button at ctpub.com to save 20% on your ebook purchase. Start browsing now at ctpub.com.
We're back at the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. You can just feel the excitement. Minnick and Simpson are back with Prairie Paisley 2, a collection with the rich, layered look of a well-loved fabric stash. Here comes Sandy Gervais getting sassy with this bright and cheerful line. Up next, Deb Strain's Tend the Earth is bringing the peaceful feeling of a garden to the runway. Ooh la la, it's Bunny Hill Designs and Baby's Going to Paris. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Follow American Patchwork and Quilting on Pinterest to find ideas for bags, baby projects, pillowcases, storage and organization, and more. Visit Pinterest.com/APQ magazine to join the fun.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, and we are going to talk about some machine quilting, because I think that's like the hottest topic out there. Everybody wants to know how to do that themselves. And, you know, one of the shows I was at, I was looking around, and there were just all of these, you know, pretty amazing quilting going on in the booths. And I thought, you know, who's doing this work? Because you could sort of see a style, and I thought, I've got to meet her or him. And it turns out it's a her, Angela Walters. And we were at dinner one night and talking. And from there, we have been friends and chatting for several years. And I just think it's awesome. She has a new book. And I wanted to tell us about quilting because she has a passion for it. Hi, Angela. How are you?
I'm doing great, Pat. How are you doing today?
I am just thrilled to have you on here to talk about machine quilting because you really do have a huge passion for it.
I do. It's like I said in my blog, it's my therapy. It's what I love to do, and I like to talk about it, teach it, and also do it.
the whole thing. Just give it all to me, right?
Yeah. I'll go ahead.
I was going to say, you have a story about how you actually started and why you started to quilt that involves your grandfather. Tell me about that.
That's correct. It's actually my husband's grandfather. When I met my husband, his family is really into quilt. And mm-hmm. I asked his grandfather and his grandma to show me how to make a quilt. And it just mm-hmm. kind of started from there. And one day, his grandfather said, I think you should buy a quilting machine. And I said, I think I should too. What is that?
Yeah.
And so what is that anyway? So between my husband's grandfather and I, my husband was kind of roped into buying a machine for me, and it's just the rest, as they say, is history.
Well, that is so. Now, I don't think too many people can say that their grandfather is a quilter, let alone, you know, encourage them to buy a machine. I mean, how did he know about the machines? Did he use one?
Well, he said he saw one at a show one time.
Ah.
Is how he did it. His mom quilted when he was growing up. Obviously, mm-hmm. in that time, it was more for utility. You know, the mm-hmm. quilt served a purpose for sure, to keep them warm. And when he retired, he started making quilts with my husband's grandmother. And it just kind of went from there. And when I came into the picture, they were already making several quilts, and I was intrigued and wanted to mm-hmm. learn how to make them as well.
Did you have quilters in your family? Not, I suppose not, if you really didn't.
No, yeah. I didn't. I didn't even really know what a quilt was until I met my husband. And in fact, I probably would have called it a blanket.
Right. Yeah. So, well, no. You know, I'm the same way, because there's no quilters in my family. And Greg's grandmother's quilts are the first I ever saw, my mm-hmm. husband's grandmother's. So, you know, you bought a long arm machine. I mean, you didn't dived right into the big girl machines.
Well, I didn't know enough to know that you could quilt on your sewing machine, and I'm really glad I didn't, because I'm sure my husband would have said to just do that.
Yeah.
So I did. Okay. I called up Gamble, because they happened to be local, and I said, mm-hmm. I'd like to buy a quilting machine, and I bought a used one from them. And when it got delivered, I thought it quilted the quilt for you, so I didn't even know what I was getting myself into at the time.
Oh, that's one of those big surprises. Oh, you mean I have to push that big machine along that rail?
Yeah. Exactly. It was a surprise.
So when you first got the machine, you know, the things that we're going to talk about, you know, this half of the show, a lot of them apply to whether you're working on a long arm or working on domestic machine. But have you actually quilted on both now?
I do almost all my work on a long arm, and I can, you know, do some on a sewing machine if I have to. But the stuff that I teach and that I do can be done on either. It's just the machine, that each machine has a benefit to it and also a drawback, and just depending on that is, you know, which one that makes it easier. But you can do the same amount of stuff on either one.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things you might hear this also, Angela, is that people think, you know, you can only do stuff on a long arm, but most of it can be done on a domestic.
Absolutely. And it's just like saying that you have to have a fancy top-end sewing machine to do quilting or sewing as well. That's just not the case. I mean, there are definite perks and add-ons that make it a little bit easier, but it's not a necessity for sure.
So, you know, did you start your business right away when, you know, because the long arm was sort of they're big machines. I mean, did you sort of go into this as a business from the start to quilt for other people?
No, I didn't. I planned on just quilting my quilts, and I, you know, had justified it saying if I just quilt all my own quilts for the rest of my life, it'll pay for itself. But I got into it, and I really, really loved it, and I just, I couldn't make the quilt tops fast enough to quilt them. And so I started taking in customer quilts, and I remember when I started, I thought, if I can just get one person to pay me to quilt their quilt, wouldn't that be pretty neat? And now, all these years later, I mean, obviously, I've met that goal, so...
Good to have goals. Good to have goals. Yes. Now, how did you, I mean, talk to me a little bit about how your, I will call it your quilting voice, because you're putting the layers together and you're putting an additional design on what the quilt top is. You're enhancing it by adding your personality. How did your quilting voice develop? You know, how did your style develop, Angela?
You know, that's a great question. I can't look back to a certain point and say, oh, that's when my style became. It's just, it's been a progression. You know, I've been doing this almost 10 years and, you know, just kind of working through that. But I would say that when I started quilting for designers and fabric companies and such, that's when it really kind of solidified for me, because there was an end goal, either to sell the pattern or sell the fabric, and I needed the quilting to help, you know, point to that. And I think that's what finally kind of brought everything that I've been working on for the last 9 years together into what is my style, you know, that people would say. So I would say that when it really started to gel for me.
Ah, that's, you know, that really sort of makes sense, because you were sort of had a laser focus then on what you were doing.
Absolutely. Yeah, I quilted a lot of traditional quilts for customers throughout the years. But of course I always put my most into those quilts, but they were more, you know, for people to use and enjoy. And then when I kind of made the transition to quilting for books and stuff like that, then yes, there was a secondary purpose that I needed the quilt to achieve as well.
Let's talk a little bit about how you think about and plan a design that people can, you know, maybe some tips, some things that you do so that people can get some inspiration from how you look at a top, because you're also sharing a lot of stuff on your blog about this.
Absolutely. I say the number one thing to do is to ask yourself what the most important thing about the quilt top is. Sometimes that's easy, you know, that's the pattern because it's for a pattern designer, or it's the fabric. Sometimes it's the fact that it's going to be for a special little kid that's going to, you know, really love on it. And once I decide what that most important thing is, then I make the quilting help kind of put the focus on that. I love to quilt, and I do the quilting on a quilt, but I don't think it should be the first thing that somebody sees. I think it should enhance the top. I kind of joke that it's like makeup, you know, you want your makeup to enhance part of your face, but you don't want it to be so obvious that it's there. So when I look at the quilt, I'll say, you know, the most important thing about this is the pattern. And so how can I use the quilting to reinforce the pattern or point to that? So that it's kind of an abstract answer, kind of the process that I go through with my mind. And then using, you know, designs that mimic either the quilt top or designs in the fabric. Draw inspiration from the quilt top really helps to make sure that it's all cohesive. So those are just a few of the things that are rambling around in my head when I'm looking at a quilt top.
Well, you know, and it's a learned skill too, because you've had 10 years of practice of looking and thinking about them. So, you know, for me, I like to tell people you have to sort of get going with it, don't you?
Absolutely. And sometimes I start a quilt and I'm not sure how I'm going to do it, but as long as I'm halfway there, I know what I'm going to do on half of it, I go ahead and load it, because inspiration will definitely come when you're quilting, when you start it.
Yeah, you probably do a lot more planning than I do, because you do a bit, you know, your quilting's fancier than mine. Fancy in a good way. I mean, just more planned, more cohesive. I just sort of sit down, okay, let's get this all together.
You know, there is a little bit of planning that goes into it, and it definitely depends on the customer. Some of my customers, it's more of a conversation, and then some, they're just, you know, do what I want on it. But since I'm turning them over so quick, I don't have a whole lot of time, but I will set out the next quilt while I'm working on the current one and kind of think about the next one as I'm going. So there is a little bit of planning time, but not a whole lot.
Are you doing drawing? Are you drawing out some of the designs, you know, maybe using like some sort of clear something over top to sort of test out an idea that you have floating around?
Yes, I do a lot of drawing. So I think it's good practice. I don't usually audition it on the quilt with clear plastic. It's probably a good idea, but I just stick to old pencil and paper. I also have this really neat, huge mirror in my quilting room, and sometimes I'll get a dry erase marker and practice through something if I want to see if I can get it to flow, because most of the time, if you can draw it out, you can quilt it.
You know, I think that's the super tip, because people don't realize that your hands, when you're drawing, that doesn't that put like a memory into the flow of the shape?
Absolutely. I think that most of quilting is just knowing where to go next. Mm-hmm. So I think by practicing it out on paper and drawing and over again, your brain learns how to handle the designs in different ways. What do you do if you get in a corner, or what do you do if you hit the edge of the block? And so once you work through that, then it's just translating that, you know, to the machine. But that saves you from standing at the quilt top and unsure of all of it at once and kind of frozen with fear. So I think the most important thing someone can do is to practice drawing it.
You know, one of the things that a lot of domestic quilters, you know, do or want to do is mark their tops so that they can, you know, follow a design. And a lot of designs sort of need to be followed if you're doing maybe you have a wreath, you know, and it needs to be, you know, symmetrical and even. What do you think about marking on the fabric? What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, I definitely suggest it if it's going to help kind of get you through that and kind of give you the comfort to go with the design. I have two marking tools that I love. I use the Mark Be Gone, the blue water-soluble pen. And that's one of those things that I started using. It's never let me down, so that's just all I use. I'm sure there's many more great marking tools out there, but that's just what's worked for me, and if it's not broke, I'm not going to fix it. And then I also have a pounce pad, which is great for marking out stencils, and it just kind of marks chalk on there. I try to encourage people that come to my classes to not mark out every step of the design, because most often you just need a guide, something to kind of, like a roadmap.
So like a guide for like a circled wreath might be just the circle?
Yeah, just the circle.
Ah, so you wouldn't put all the like if it was a feather in a circle, you know, you wouldn't put all the petals, you would just do the circle and then sort of do a little more freehand work?
Yes, that's how I would handle it. Now, when I was starting out, I definitely traced out each individual feather, but once you get more comfortable with the design, you know, it's probably not as necessary.
Well, that's good to know, because I, you know, when you, like you quilt a lot, and for people who are quilting their own quilts, there's big gaps of time, isn't there, between when they do one quilt and when they do the next quilt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's something they might want to tighten up that gap so they get a little, it's quicker the next time then.
Yes, it kind of builds momentum as you go. Definitely.
Well, you know, Angela, what we're going to do is we're going to take a little break.
Okay.
And then when we come back, we're going to talk about your new book. I'm so excited.
Great. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, everybody, we're going to take a little break, and then you'll come back to American Patchwork and Quilting with Pat Sloan and Angela Walters.
Ready for a new project? Choose from hundreds of free patterns in the Projects and Ideas section of our website, allpeoplequilt.com.
Welcome to the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. We've got a great lineup for you today. Entering with the Spin Twirl by Me and My Sister Designs brings a playful and fun vibe to the runway. Oh, hello, Luscious by Basic Gray. You looking good, girl. Up next, Reunion by Sweetwater offers a fresh take on navy by pairing it with gray and happy shades of green, yellow, and red. Look who's coming now. It's the Berenstain Bears, a childhood favorite. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Whatever your style, whatever your skill, you'll find everything you need to start sewing today at PatternSpot.com, the downloadable pattern marketplace. It's a one-stop shop with hundreds of designers and thousands of patterns all online under one virtual roof. Go to PatternSpot.com and sign up for our email list to get 20% off your next purchase. From quilts, home decor, and wearables to fabric crafts and accessories, PatternSpot.com is your one-stop pattern shop.
Make the most of your sewing machine by watching Machine Minute videos brought to you by Baby Lock. Learn about popular topics like tension troubles, stitch length, needles, buttonholes, zipper basics, and more. Watch these videos at allpeoplequilt.com/videos.
Win $10,000 cash to stock your stash. Enter today to win the ultimate $10,000 crafting giveaway at allpeoplequilt.com/craft giveaway.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm talking to Angela Walters of QuiltingIsMyTherapy.com. So, Angela, congratulations on your book.
Thank you. I'm so excited about it.
Oh, my gosh. Free Motion Quilting with Angela Walters. It's not in the stores yet. Is that correct? It's just coming out?
It'll be out next month, the middle of June. Middle of June.
Okay. Uh-huh. Now, this is all about free motion quilting. The tagline is Choose and Use Quilting Designs for Modern Quilts. So tell me a little bit about the basis of the book.
Well, I really wanted to give something to quilters that would encourage them to try out machine quilting. I think that since I love it so much that everybody else should too. So it has a good dose of motivation, encouragement, mm-hmm. and then also plenty of quilting designs. Each design is drawn out with diagrams step by step and also a nice clear picture of the quilting so that you mm-hmm. can see it actually done. And then the last section, which is my favorite, shows several quilts and how to use the designs on those quilts. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, just like with makeup, you know, you can do them in so many different ways. And I think just seeing the different ways to use them will give inspiration to the readers.
Right. I've got a sneak preview copy, and I'm looking at it, and there are plenty of diagrams, and you also do like directions, so you show which way to go, which is really mm-hmm. important because people sometimes can't, until they've done this for a while, can't visualize where to go next to get that mm-hmm. end result.
Yes. Yeah, and I was really set on that. I mean, of course, Dash was great to work with, but I wanted there to be diagrams as well as the samples. I wanted it to be as clear as it could be. With lots of directions, just so that somebody that was sitting down, whether they were a new quilter or somebody mm-hmm. had been doing it a while, could get something out of this book.
Now, when it has a tagline of modern quilts, I mean, these techniques will work on traditional quilts, too. You just happen to show them on a different style quilt or certain
Absolutely.
Style quilt.
Yes, that's yeah. definitely the case. Depending on which quilt I have on my machine, I could be a traditional quilter one day and then a modern quilter the next. Quilting designs, like I said, are best when they enhance the quilt. And just mm-hmm. using the same design in a couple different ways will give you totally different results, whether it's a traditional thimbleberries quilt or a modern improvisational quilt.
Now, for the quilts that are more improvisational or more modern, you tend to have fabrics that will show off the quilting more, like you don't have a lot of busy prints. Mm-hmm. So what is your, you know, when you look at a quilt that has, you know, to me it's like all of this space to do the showing off, do you think about it differently than when you're looking at a border with a great big busy floral that, you know, isn't really going to see your quilting?
Absolutely. In fact, I think that's what drew me to modern quilts was mm-hmm. finally, you know, some space to run and really kind of go for it. I look at that. Anytime I get a quilt with a lot of negative space, I get really excited about it. But I'm very careful also because since there is so much blank fabric or solid fabric, this quilting mm-hmm. can quickly overpower the piecing mm-hmm. on the top. So I'm always very careful to use thread that matches so that mm-hmm. you can see the quilting but that it's not overwhelming. And then I also like to try different things to break up the large areas of negative space. Just a few things I'll try is I'll combine a couple different designs. Sometimes I'll break up the space with two different designs. Really, it's just a fun way to go at it. And then when I'm working on a quilt with a lot of busier fabric, sometimes mm-hmm. I will quilt around the designs in the fabric or try out new quilting designs since it won't show up very much. It's a good time to practice those.
Right. Yeah, they'll be camouflaged a little bit.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So do you, when you have a busy fabric, meaning, you know, just a floral that has a lot of interest, a lot of colors, multicolored fabric, you know, what color thread do you pick for those type of projects?
You know, I usually like to stick to a neutral color or something that will blend mm-hmm. the best. which is usually right in the middle range. I'll put some different threads and lay it out over the quilt top and see, you know, what kind of blends the best. And I always try to go away from using a darker thread, and I prefer to use a lighter thread because I feel that a darker thread on lighter fabric would take away from it. But that's just my personal preference. I mean, all of this is subjective. It's whatever you find that you like.
And I think because, you know, people are very hungry for this information, you know, because they don't, they want to quilt themselves and they don't always, you know, have the confidence. So I like that you give all these different examples in your book.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like there's two groups of people. There's people that love it or there's people that are scared of it. And and I'm sure there's people that don't like it, but I don't know. But the people that are scared of it, I want them to feel like they can walk up to it and go for it. I mean, it's a process. Nobody starts it and is great at the beginning. In fact, I mean, I could show some of my first quilts and they would definitely be humbling. But I think quilters are too hard on themselves. I think they need to enjoy the process and just keep trying to improve and try out new designs. And I think that they would like it after that.
Yeah. Do you remember like your first quilt when you felt like, yes, I finally figured it out? You know, it's sort of like it just kicks in.
You know, I don't remember the exact quilt, but I remember quilting feathers. I couldn't get them down for the longest time. And I, you know, I got online, I tried to find, and I finally went and took a class. And I think that was one of the only classes I took, but she drew it out and I thought it snapped and I figured it out. And then now I think that's why I love feathers so much. But that first time that I quilted a feather, I thought, oh, this is what I've been waiting for.
I know. I always get everybody else to quilt my feathers because I don't do them enough. And so it always takes me a while to get in a groove for the feather. My brain has to really work hard on those. And I just want to tell people, if you go to allpeoplequilt.com and you go up under Try Techniques, there's machine quilting, and you'll find lots and lots of stuff you can go look through while we're, you know, here talking about machine quilting today. Now, Angela, besides your book, one of the things that I mentioned earlier and you also mentioned was that you've done a lot of work for the designers where you do a little bit different thought process because their quilts are going to hang and showcase not only their patterns, but possibly their patterns and their fabric, which is a little different thought than somebody making a quilt, for, you know, having a quilt done just for their own bed. You know, some of the work that you've done is for Tula Pink, who you've done some incredible work on there. She has a lot of open space. Can you tell us a little bit about how you look at quilts like that?
Well, especially in her instance, there's a lot of conversation that goes back and forth. She has a very clear idea of kind of what the overall look that she's going for, and I love to try to match her on that with the quilting. And so, for instance, one of the last quilts we did, her new fabric line has little spiders, and it's kind of a Halloween line, and so that just knowing that that was her inspiration kind of pushed me to try to figure out how I could meet her there, and so that's kind of where I come with that. Again, just pulling it all together, making it a package, and really making it to where when it's hanging up in a booth that people will walk by, that will see it and want to come closer. Like it'll pull them in, look at it, to see the little details that are hidden in there.
And you do a lot of with words too, don't you?
Yeah, I have, which is kind of funny how I definitely didn't start that way, but it's a great way to literally get your message across, and I really enjoy that. Yeah.
When you do words, are you doing it like somebody's, you know, doing, you know, cursive writing, or are you doing block letters and they're puffy, you know, or have you done the whole gamut?
I have done the whole gamut. I remember, I think it was a year and a half ago at Tula Pink's booth at Houston, she had me quilt the name of her fabric line at the time, Parisville, and so we did that. I did it in script letters and real puffy because it was the central piece of her booth to kind of put it all together, like this is what this is for. But I've also hidden words in there. One of the most recent quilts I've done was for a fabric line called Commute, and they actually had me quilt words in it that were, you know, about the fabric line. And it's a fun way. I think it shows that you don't have to take yourself too seriously or the quilting, whatever it takes to get the message across.
Yeah, I love that part because I love words. So, you know, that's my favorite thing. It's like when I saw the stuff with the words, I was like, ah, look at that. So So are you, when you go to a show, Angela, what are you drawn to? I mean, when you go to a quilt show and you see quilts hanging, is there something that you zoom in on?
You know, I'm an eclectic person by nature. I love a lot of different things, and Grandpa taught me there's no such thing as ugly quilt. So I gravitate towards a lot of different kind of quilts. If I'm going to a machine quilting show, you know, I like to see the over-the-top stuff, but I like to also see the quilts that try something in a different way that's not quite, you know, expected. And then I also have a great appreciation for, you know, the vintage quilts and how they, you know, quilted those. But no matter where I'm at, I'm always looking at the quilting, that's for sure.
I know. And I do too. You know, I didn't used to because it was all about the top and the fabric, but, having worked a lot with, long armors and, you know, just really getting to know what kind of effort goes into the designing of that third layer, you know, that layer on top.
Yeah.
That's been amazing.
Yeah. I'm always looking at trying to see how they did it, how it was done. You know, that's really neat thinking about the way they've done it. So that's probably the biggest thing that I'm always looking at.
So are you piecing tops for yourself now still, or are you sort of, do you partner with people to just do the work on existing tops? What is your process lately?
Well, as good of a quilter as I am not a very good sewer or sewist. So my mom actually started quilting a couple of years ago and finally got her on that wagon. And so she'll help me piece some quilt tops. Every once in a while, I put together for something, you know, something small. But I figure when I can't quilt anymore, when my body's, you know, worn out, then that's when I'll start sewing tops together again.
So when that just cracks me up. So you have a lot of quilts you'll be making then, because you have a long ways to go before you're worn out.
Exactly.
So what's coming up for you? I think you have something fun to announce.
I did. I've been saving it for your show. I do have some fun stuff coming up that I can't talk about, but I can say that in the fall, I'll be releasing my second book with Stash Books. So
yay!
I'm very excited about that. Yeah, I love the writing process so much. I jumped right back into it. And cool. So the second book is called In the Studio with Angela Walters and has a tentative release date of November.
Awesome. I can't wait. That'll be so exciting. And you are doing some teaching. Is that on your website where people can find you and take classes?
Yes, absolutely. There's a tab that says On the Road, Classes and Lectures. And I've really, really kind of lined up some fun stuff, and I'm excited about it. I think that talking about quilting is almost as much fun as the actual quilting. So I'll be making my way to all edges of the country before too long.
That is great. I'm really excited for you, Angela. Your book is fabulous. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So I'm probably going to see you next in a few days. Yeah.
Yeah.
A few days.
Yeah.
In Kansas City.
Yep, in my hometown, I'm excited about it. It'll be promoting the book, so I'm really excited about that.
Well, thanks again, Angela Walters of Quilting is My Therapy, and check out her new book. This is Pat Sloan for American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. Visit our website, allpeoplequilt.com, where we also have, you know, lots of information on the topics today, from applique to wool to machine quilting. We'll see you next week with brand new shows. Bye-bye.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for listening.